This is the Tom Likas Show.
You're a freak with a microphone.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Here we are, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We do it every Tuesday at 6 Pacific Time, 9 Eastern Time. So if you like to call and you've got legal questions, listen to the podcast or the replay of the show. You can hear this hour live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And joining us in studio with the answers to your legal questions is family law attorney Adam Sachs.
Hey,
good to
Tom.
See you, Adam. What's going on?
Well, it's been a little interesting tonight hanging out with Sully and his bro.
Yes, Zach and Suleiman are here. They're in studio. They've been bouncing back and forth between the rooms here, having a little dinner.
Definitely creates a different sort of environment, Tom.
It does. I don't know if that's good or bad, Adam, but sounds like you might have an opinion about that.
Yes, well, we're having fun. Also, Mr. Checkpoint, of course.
Yes, and Mr. Checkpoint. Exactly right.
So, Tom, I guess there's no avoiding it. I want to talk about our little virgin attack in the University of Santa Barbara.
Yeah, by the way,
your neck of the woods, right?
He was the first to tell you he was beautiful. He has it right in the video.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting thing. You know, generally someone with incredibly low self-esteem who's talking about what a loser he is and can't get a girlfriend wouldn't talk about himself as beautiful and fabulous. I thought that was kind of odd.
Well, clearly he was trying to build himself up in his own mind and also trying to show what a threat he was to others.
Well, it's very strange stuff. You know that one of his victims, this Veronica Weiss, apparently is the daughter of Bob Weiss from KABC. He's an account executive there. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
A radio connection, Tom.
Really?
The other really off-the-wall bizarre thing that I discovered
I know some people who work over at KABC. I'll have to ask them.
I figured you would. No, seriously, that's the guy. He works there, and that's his daughter. So
I did not know that.
Feel terrible for him.
Wow.
But he was apparently trying to track her on her iPhone or something like that, so that's pretty awful.
Oh, yikes.
But, you know, one of the bizarre things, and I read through his manifesto, he talks about...
We're talking about Elliot Rodgers' manifesto.
Yes, of course, of course.
Okay.
Well, I was calling him the Virgin Killer. I don't know. They got a couple of different names for him. I don't think they have one that's stuck quite yet. But he's talking about his circumstances and his background, and he talks a lot, and this relates to our show today, I suppose, about his parents' divorce and how devastating it was for him. And it's really unbelievable. I don't know any rational person that could do this. And obviously the guy was mentally ill, but you have to look at some of these things that are just appalling. And one of them, apparently, is that he comes home from school one day when he's pretty young, and there's this woman in the kitchen. And his father tells him, that's your stepmother, and now she's going to be living with us forevermore, and that's it, just like that.
I love when they do that.
I don't know that that's a very positive or healthy introduction for a child to learn about a step-parent, and usually the blended families are fraught with problems. You know, there's this crazy thing where that was supposed to be this exciting new future that everyone was going to have this blended family, and the problems, particularly between step-parents, are just appalling, Tom, absolutely appalling. My classic experience in my practice and my experience in my own life even is that the adults believe, you know, if this is good for us, it's going to be good for the kids. And it's particularly unique that a woman who has children, let's say, will get involved with a guy, and she honestly and sincerely and seriously believes that because the guy loves her, he's going to love her kids. And they're going to love him, and everything's going to be fine. You know, it's the classic experience of dog owners, Tom, I'm sorry to say. And people believe that their dogs are, you know, their bestest friend in the whole world, and girls say that, you know, if their dog was only a man, he'd be their boyfriend and all this. But you know, apparently if you go away for a few months and you leave your dog with a new family, he'll be disorientated for a couple of days, and then he'll acclimate to the new family. And when you come back from your vacation, he's not exactly sure who you are anymore.
Right.
Well, children are not like that. Children know who their natural parents are. And when you introduce the step-parent, the child is very likely to reject that person. And particularly these women that I said, you know, get involved with guys, they think that the child is just going to accept this guy as their father. And sometimes there's a little bit of a honeymoon period or whatever. There's some newness and excitement. But after a very short time, the child maintains an attachment to their natural father. And even if that guy is away or he's in prison or the child never met him, there's some basic DNA natural type thing that connects to that. Anyway, so this guy apparently really hated his stepmother. And Tom, she was very cruel to him. There's a whole thing in the manifesto where, at least his side of the story, that he has this younger brother, and she's telling him how the younger brother is going to be with girls and never going to have a problem like he does, and
right.
is probably going to lose his virginity before he does, and all those very cruel sorts of statements, which are particularly appalling for him because he's very upset about all this. But what's totally bizarre is I found his father, the director, I found his website, and he has several dozen naked pictures.
He's into ass pictures.
Yes, Tom. That's
right,
Tom.
I did go there.
You found the ass pictures, Tom.
Yes, I did.
And bent over with the labia sticking out pictures, Tom.
Right.
He's got all these, like Tom has described, these kind of rear entry pictures in different situations, in different places in the world, by the way. Very nice picture. I mean, the photography, certainly excellent quality. But I don't know how I would feel about seeing my stepmother, who I hate anyway, naked on top of it. It's bizarre. And the other thing that's pretty incredible, there's a...
I think I'd feel worse about the fact that she was on Real Housewives.
Well, as if she was talking about all her cheating or whatever. But apparently the father, before he made it quote-unquote big as the assistant director in, like, you know, a real mainstream film like The Hunger Games, apparently he had... worked on a documentary for several years talking about the meaning of life or the meaning of God. And apparently he traveled to like 25 countries, but he did this for about 3 years. And it seems that he just really dumped the kid on the stepmother for a very, very long time. And, you know, Tom, we were always talking about this generation being the first generation of young men to be raised particularly by their mothers without having solid male influences and so forth. And it's pretty remarkable how the father rather callously found this cruel woman and left his son with her. And then he's like sexualizing her, which I'm sure the son didn't want to be aware of. And the whole thing is absolutely bizarre, really creepy. And obviously he was very mentally ill. But, you know, you talk about the tripwires and the family connections, and it's pretty remarkable that this was all going on sort of in the background, and all these people that were on the front lines, particularly his mother and his father, who were so close to it. It's very unfortunate that the way family dynamics are today is that people are so kind of removed from this. I classically talk to people now, and they tell me, oh, you know, my son's got his face in the computer all the time. He's playing Xbox all the time, which apparently this guy was doing as well. And, you know, I hardly know the kid, which is sad. The other connection, and this is something that connects to some of my work. As you know, Tom, I've represented several of the people in the pickup artist community. And this is something that I've generally been pretty positive about. There are definitely a lot of guys that are nerdy and are nervous around women or whatever and don't know how to, you know, meet a girl. And this guy obviously had real issues with women. But sometimes it's useful, and I think that the pickup artists in particular created something where they were saying that you could meet girls and you could approach it with kind of a how-to book, which is what some of them actually wrote. There's actually books, you know, how to meet girls, how to get a girl into bed or whatever. And, you know, apparently the media is trying to build this sort of three-prong thing where, first of all, you have this sort of parental problem. Then he has this connection to the pickup artists, which is like, according to the media, very, you know, sick bunch of people or whatever that objectify women. And then, Tom, on top of that, they throw in Hollywood, which obviously he had a connection to. They're showing him at, like, premieres, and his mother dated George Lucas or whatever.
By the way, Seth Rogen's been having a pissing match
with a film
columnist.
Well, yes, and what Rogen is talking about, and what this columnist you're talking about published this article saying that films like the ones that Rogen was in, but in particular she's talking about the Apatow stuff, Knocked Up and so forth. And, you know, it's kind of funny, Tom. It's very common in television shows. I was watching, it's silly, it's a cartoon, but I was watching Family Guy. And the perception on that show, you have this really good-looking woman who's, like, super smart, and she's married to this fat guy, Peter, who's dumb as dog shit, you know? And, you know, that's that thing that you talked about, Tom, which is, you know, he's this lovable loser, but he's our loser, you know?
Right.
And anyway, so this exactly what you're talking about, this particular article is suggesting that somehow the connection for guys is confused, and they're being told, you know, no matter who you are, you need to get this playboy playmate, this perfect, and he talked about it a lot in his manifesto. He doesn't want a girlfriend. He wants this perfect blonde, he talks about, that's this this, you know, this sort of playboy, you know, flawless woman who's gorgeous and perfect. And I think she's supposed to be his slave, essentially. And he doesn't seem to have much interest in her. It's kind of funny that he actually says a few times that girls are so stupid and superficial, and how they only want these losers as boyfriends. But what's funny is
brutes.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for that. But what's funny is that he himself is actually quite superficial. Because he's not saying he wants a smart girl. He's not saying he cares too much about what's her personality. He's basically talking about her strictly in the physical sense and so forth. And it really seems that, you know, one of the things that my experience is, obviously, is being on the front lines of family breakdown. And, you know, seeing people divorcing one another and people fighting over children and all kinds of nonsense that goes on in criminal and family law. And we've seen a lot with restraining orders. I think these are all the fruits of feminism. I think that feminism fucked things up in a way that society will never recover from. But whether you are a feminist or not, when you look at the results of these things, when you see this now, you see this profoundly mentally ill person who's literally been planning for months to do this horrible thing, and he has all these different influences, and there's no safety net. There's no one to catch him. There's no one to stop him, you know? I mean, Tom, if you started talking to the walls, I think that Gary and I and Dino would notice in a couple of days. And there would be a lot of things to prevent you from going off the cliff, you know?
Yes, you could do what Elliot's parents did. You could send the police over to my place.
They do a little wellness check on you?
Yeah, a little welfare. I like how someone called it a welfare check.
I think that's what they actually officially call it.
You know what they call it?
Is it some kind of a personal
Most
welfare
Most people
check?
Have a different thought.
Welfare.
A different idea of a welfare check.
Well, what they're doing essentially, you know, and this is a big problem, obviously, and since we're talking about the law today, you know, as an American, you have rights, you know. You can't just pull you off the street. And it's a big deal to take someone essentially against their will. So what they do with these police checks, I mean, is that they'll send someone to your house and they'll talk to you, and the police are trying to assess what they see. And if you're, you know, acting crazy, they can put you on a hold, 5150 mental health hold, for several days. And you saw they did that to good old Britney Spears, and it's happened to a number of people. And, you know, you're not going to be very happy about it. You're going to be screaming and yelling and saying, you know, let me out or whatever. But they can keep you for a couple of days, and then they do have to let you go. But it's meant to be if you're a danger to yourself or others. But the thing is, Tom, you know, it's a very different animal when they come to your house, whoever called in anonymously or otherwise, your mother or a friend of yours or something, they come to your house, and everything seems relatively normal. You know, the house is in relatively normal condition, what they see, you know, behind you or whatever. And they say, Tom, are you okay? And you say, I'm fine. I don't know why anyone called. I'm doing okay. Got school tomorrow, and I'm all right, which is apparently what he did. And he's not the most, you know, brilliant, stable guy in the whole world. But
no, or well-spoken. I mean, you know, he has this surface well-spokenness, but the, The reality is, a lot of what he says is awkward phrasing. He doesn't talk like a person when he refers to guys as brutes, those brutes. Women prefer those brutes instead of me. I'm beautiful. You got to be kidding me.
I don't know. Any guy that's talking about how beautiful he is and how fabulous he is, that strikes me as, can I say it, Tom? That's pretty gay.
Well, that's right. I mean, don't refer to them as brutes. They're dicks. They're thugs. Like brutes. You brute.
No, but isn't that the thing with the woman who's like punching the guy on the chest and saying, go away from me, you brute.
Right.
You know,
Didn't olive oil say that to Pluto?
Olive oil. I knew it was olive oil. That's right. I couldn't think
you
of it.
You brute.
Get away from me, you brute. I just don't know that that was, you know, particularly heterosexual of him. But it's very strange that we don't have any social connection and social cohesion to try to prevent this. But on the other hand, what does society do? I mean, the police come to his door. He seems okay. They let him go. What are they going to do? They should arrest him. They should pin him on the ground and put handcuffs on him. I mean, you can't have everything. And when you talk about gun control, they're saying they can't believe it was so easy for him to buy a gun right here in Burbank, by the way.
Yeah.
As Carson would say, beautiful downtown Burbank. But, I mean, what's the bottom line? What should have happened? He's over 18. He was even over 21, whatever it is. He didn't have a criminal record of any sort. So he bought a gun. I don't know if that's wrong. I mean, that
seems appropriate. Well, it just shows you. It shows you the inadequacy of these laws that are supposed to make us feel safe. Yes, we're giving background checks. We're giving background checks.
But he would have passed a background check.
But that's my point. If he would have passed a background check, something's wrong with the background check.
But what would it be, Tom?
I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist. All I'm saying is that what is the point of having background checks if people like this are going to slip through?
Well,
why give anyone a background check?
It seems to me that a background check means to see if you have a criminal background. And obviously he had a clean record. So, I mean, I don't see any way to have prevented him from getting a gun or whatever. And by the way, most of his victims weren't killed by guns. He knifed his roommates,
right.
Several of them, actually. So I don't know.
By the way, how did this little guy knife three people? Were they all asleep?
I think that's the story, Tom.
It's got to be the story.
I think he wrote that he was going to kill them.
Hey, you brute, stand still. I'm trying to knife you.
I don't know.
I'm beautiful, you know. Come over here. I have a knife.
Unbelievable. It just seems that in general, society doesn't have a lot of the mechanisms to deal with these things. You know, when I was growing up and whatnot, we had some of these school shootings, and it was so shocking. And if you remember Columbine at the time in Colorado, we just stunned the nation. And when Michael Moore wrote his documentary showing that they had gone bowling the day before or whatever, the night before,
right.
I mean, it was so off the wall. But when you look at it now, this seems to be happening every couple of weeks. That we have a school shooting or we have a workplace shooting or someone pissed off goes to the shopping centers or whatever. And it just seems like our society is sort of adjusting to it in a way that it doesn't shock us in the same way.
No, we're not. We don't, as a society, we don't look like we're interested in doing anything about it. So
yeah, the question is, you know, what would you do?
Well, nothing. Let's just live with it. That's what people are saying. They're adjusting to it because they know there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, the things that I see in family law, and it's the breakdown of the family, and you see where children have some kind of a stable environment with a mother and father, and the parents get divorced, and then the mother's nasty and prevents the kids from seeing their father, and she reintroduces different guys to the children in all kinds of different circumstances, and it's just the whole stability, that whole thing that you really need as a child is removed. On the other hand, when I'm watching this guy's videos, I don't know if you watched them on YouTube, Tom. He's
all weekend long. I watched them.
Okay, he's. You'll recall
there was more new material from this guy than on Netflix. Because he made a million videos.
Well, if you recall, Tom, he's not exactly living a bad life. There's a couple where they show him from his balcony or something, from his house,
right.
His father's house.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know, real estate assessment or whatever, but it didn't look like a bad neighborhood to me.
No, but I understand.
Pretty fucking privileged kid.
But adults see that stuff differently. I remember when I was living on Long Island, and everybody thought that my parents were just the greatest because they went and bought us this great house. out there in suburbia. You know, when I was a kid and I was into music, wanting to make friends, you know, it's kind of hard to have a social life when you can't even drive a car. Everybody lives far away from you. You know, you don't have, even if you have money, it's very hard to, there's nothing to do. And your friends live miles away. And I remember many days I just sat on the stoop in front of the house feeling sorry for myself. So everybody said, well, you live in this great house. What a great place to live. Well, you know what? As a teenager, I wanted to, like, go to concerts and have fun and have friends. And instead, I had to wait. My mother couldn't even drive. I had to wait until my father came home, and I'd have to hope he wouldn't mind driving me to wherever the people were. So I can understand, even though parents think living in Calabasas is just wonderful, I can understand if I were a teenager or if I were 19 or 20 years old, I might be bored in Calabasas. I might.
No. I hate to say this to you, Tom, but I live in Calabasas.
But you understand. You're an adult. You don't understand what I'm saying. I live up in northern Santa Barbara County. I can't even get natural gas where I live, all right? Now, but I love it, but I think if I were 17, 17-year-old me would say, I'm bored to tears here.
Well, all I can say, you know, by the way, the places he's describing in Calabasas and these parks and whatnot that he's talking about are all places that that I've gone to many times, and it's very creepy in some ways. And I'm sure the Santa Barbara connection is a little bizarre for you as well.
Oh, but believe me, I was in Santa Barbara County, driving distance, easy driving distance from where all this was going on.
Right.
And I was getting all the incoming tweets from all the local newspapers and TV stations. And anybody who saw me on my Twitter feed on Friday night, I was desperately trying to get information. I wanted to know what was going on over there.
The thing is, Tom, that, you know, there's no tripwire anymore. I think that's probably the biggest problem. And you see how sad it is in some way that, you know, the talking heads, as it were, on the news shows and the columnists are trying to make sense out of this. And they're trying to say, why did this happen and how did it happen? And, you know, then that's really stupid question of, you know, how could it have been prevented? And I think that ultimately our society doesn't have an answer for that. And if we really tightened up restrictions, if we really did have...
I think it starts with, if you're going to have kids, you're going to get married, and look, you're an assistant director, and you meet the wardrobe chick, who's from China, and you hook up with her, and then you marry her. Why don't you wait 5 years and see how that goes?
Well, do you tell the kid that he was an accident? That's horrible. That the pill failed or whatever?
Well, I think you didn't need to tell him.
That's pretty depressing.
Pretty fucking clear.
I would keep that to myself.
But the point is, how about you not have kids until you've been together for a period of time? So at the very least, look how traumatic this was. Now, this kid was a monster. He killed all these people, and I don't feel the least bit sorry for him. But I feel sorry for the victims and their families, but not for him. But I got to tell you, maybe if those two parents had used birth control, waited until they had a solid relationship and knew they were going to stay together as a family to have kids, maybe it wouldn't have been so bad.
Well, I was thinking about part of what you said also, and this is a connection to the same kind of thinking. You always tell the boys that, you know, you shouldn't get married, you shouldn't have a family until you are the thing you want to be. And so in the context of this father of his, who actually was not a successful director, Tom. He was doing some, you know, BS around making documentaries and commercials here and there.
Yeah.
It seems that he had to kind of live the other way, where he neglected his family for years and years in order to make it as a director. And maybe that's something he should have done first, because...
Well, that's another thing I tell the guys.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Do not get married. Do not have kids. Do not make any commitments or take on any obligations until you've achieved your dream. It's something I say all the time. You don't want to be doing that on the way up.
The thing is, I definitely agree. It seems to me that in the context of being something or trying to do something, especially something unusual, that you don't know if, you know, just the way life being what it is, you're going to have this very emotionally needy child. And here he has this child who's, like, very, very emotionally needy and very, very weird, and he really probably needed to spend a lot of time with the kid. You know, one of the things that I thought was very telling is the kid was telling the father how depressed he was and how confused he was about life, I don't know if you remember this one, Tom. He gave the kid, the father did, he gave the kid a copy of The Secret.
Yes.
Now, that is the biggest shit. That is the biggest joke of a book.
Yep.
And it shows you how women today are confused. And we talk about the simplicity and the airheadedness of the Oprah Book Club. The Secret essentially says that it's the rule of attraction, which means that if you want something, you should think about it and demand it out to the universe, and the universe will give it to you. Okay? So this is how the father thought he was helping the son, by turning him onto this book.
Because it was easier than talking to his son.
Exactly right. It was a lot easier than dealing with him or parenting him or trying to explain life to him. It's like, look, kid, I got to catch a plane. I'm working on my fucking movie. Look, just read this. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I'll Skype you when I get there.
Yeah, I'll definitely Skype you. I promise.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll be in touch.
I'm going to take a break here. And then we have one of your clients on the phone here. You know
oh,
about
really?
That?
This is Mal?
They're putting him up as Mo.
Mo, okay.
Mal?
This is a man with strong opinions, Tom.
Okay, good. Is he a listener?
I think so, yeah.
All right, good. We're going to find out.
This is after the break?
After the break.
Okay.
Because we haven't taken a break, and we're already half an hour into this. So we're going to have to take a break. We'll come back with Adam Sachs. Your calls. Adam is your family law attorney, Adam Sachs. Next, we'll hear from one of his clients. And then from you at 901-3000-TOM. All right, get ready to dial for your free legal advice, 901-3000-TOM. Are you ready? Let's do it, 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, boys, Mangrates are back, and as always, for Father's Day, you know there's only one perfect gift. It's the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System. Now, what are man grates? They're 100% made in America cast iron grilling grates that you use with your existing grill. These heavy-duty grilling grates deliver exactly what you need to achieve that steakhouse flavor you've been looking for and those perfect grilling marks. Now, with man grates' patented design, chicken, steak, or frankly, whatever you grill, never tasted so good. No more flare-ups, no more dry meat, guaranteed. Now, take advantage of their $19.99 Tom Likas Show special today by entering the coupon code TOM101 at Mangrate.com. As a bonus, every order comes with a heavy-duty Mangrate grilling brush. Hook your dad up this Father's Day. Use the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24-7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee on my fucking rug. Find us at newnormalrock.com and ask like TuneIn. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no broads, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug. New normal rock.
How do you like to improve your financial future? Simply by watching videos. Well, these are not just any videos. They're webinars by Dennis, and they could be exactly what you need to get on the road to financial success. In his 30 years as a consultant and tax professional, here's someone who's seen it all, breaking down the books of hundreds of clients and even helping people like you start their own business ventures. And with that experience, he's developed a trusted reputation as having a unique an insightful look at both the successes and pitfalls of those seeking to attain personal wealth. And now he's sharing that knowledge with you in a series of videos called Webinars by Dennis, packed full of experiences, anecdotes, and practical tricks of the trade that could help you find that business angle that's been eluding you. Watch them on your Mac, PC, or smartphone, and become inspired to succeed in the way you've always dreamed of. Just go to this website, webinarsbydennis.com. That's webinarsbydennis.com. You could be one video away from living the dream.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We are here with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Tell us about your client, Adam.
This is Mo. I've known him for a number of years. And I know he's got a lot to say about this. I think let's bring him on. I don't want to mess it.
All right, here he is, Mo. How you doing?
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Mo.
What's going on, man?
Long time, first time.
Long time listener, first time caller.
There you go. Hello, Adam. Long time. I haven't talked to you in a long time. You know that, Tom? Adam introduced me to your show over 10 years ago.
There you go.
He also introduced me all to the game and the philosophy, and I'm glad you guys are talking about this topic, you know. And I can tell that the sense is a little bit more spiritual now, right, than usually, the mood.
Yeah, we're very spiritual in here.
Yeah, for sure. Tom and I have been praying all morning.
Yeah, no, but what I was going to say I like about this particular case is that you cannot blame the guns, right, because he was using the knives, and you cannot blame that kid because he was ugly or poor or in the wrong location. And even if he got some issues in the head, he had the help, and he had the access to the doctors, and they did the right thing. The cops went to the house. They checked up on him. So, I mean, when you talk about how can you fix this, I was – and when he – in the video that I saw, and he was saying something about – the, wanted to be the alpha male. That's when I thought about you. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to call Adam about this, you know, because is this a kind of monsters? Does this pickup mentality bring it up or what?
I don't know. Do we want to blame pickup for this, Mal?
I don't know. I mean, I was born in Mexico City. I was born and raised and shit like this would never happen over there, you know, because over there we're always surrounded with people, la abuelita, la tía, everybody's around. And even then, we would find a way to reproduce because, you know what, we're Mexicans, right? We're going to reproduce, right? But it happens here, you know why? Because we're alone. We can have the best technology in the world, everything around it, but we're alone.
All right, wait. Well, that's a very interesting point, by the way, and I think I was raising this before. I want to hear what you have to say about this. You said you grew up in Mexico.
Mexico City, yeah.
Until how old?
Until I was 21. But, you know, in Mexico City, you're either dirt poor or filthy rich. You know, and that thing, I think a lot had to do with that because when I was watching those videos, I could relate to that guy in a way. You know, you grew up thinking, oh, the blonde, blue-eyed princess, I want that. And then you get here. I did not know the language. I could not even speak as clearly as I'm speaking now, you know, and they would not give me the time of day. So you start getting a sense of why if they sold me in that dream, why can't I get it, you know, and then you come up with this philosophy of the pickup artistry that it doesn't matter if you are geek or a dork, it doesn't matter. Here, we're going to give you the techniques. You don't have, we'll tell you what to say. We'll tell you how to dress, like peacocking, all that stuff, you know, just to attain the things. But if you keep surrounding yourself with money and the things and the Tesla and all the things, at the end of the day, you're empty inside because you use tricks to get that.
The thing is, you know, Tom has always been very partial to, like, Latin women, right? I mean, right. Do you think that Latin women really are different, especially back home?
Yeah, they're ball busters, you know, they're the ones with the pants in the house. And maybe, and I don't want to say this, but maybe that's the reason they get beat up over there more because they stand up to the man, you know?
No, I thought they were so submissive or something, no?
In the bedroom, yeah, they are. But you got like a wild horse, you have to tame them, you know, you have to show the alpha male. But in Mexico, we don't have the game over there. We were just born macho with el charro, you know, that was the way to go, I guess. Different mentality, different culture. Here in America, the women defend themselves with the law. They know they have the men by the balls with the law, so men have no other choice but to submit. That's why I'm thankful for you guys' philosophy here, you know?
Or not marry them and not move in with them and not let them have the keys to your house.
Well, I made the mistake 3 times. Like you, Tom, I'm a multiple offender, you know? But in my case...
3 times.
In my case, an exception. I got married 3 times, and I got an amicable divorce 3 times with them. I even went to lunch after them. So there you go.
No, that's good. But on the other hand, seriously, Mal, do you think that the connection will be different in terms of the family connection? Because part of what I was feeling with this guy was that he didn't really have anyone noticing that he was acting crazy. It seems like in the extended family, in the Mexican family, I've always met people that were Latin that had, you know, cousins and nephews and nieces, and they were much more tight-knit. If someone was acting crazy, I think that it would have been a lot more tripwires, you know?
Yeah, and also here, this country is very cliquish, you know? In Mexico, at least you go to a school, and everybody's full-time student. There's no part-timers. And I'm sure obviously, by looking at the video, you can tell he's a pretentious fucker. I mean, nobody would want to lead him, right? But he felt alone, and I'm sure he walked around, and he's dorky. I don't think people need to embrace each other. If you see somebody out there with no friends, at least make a smile, a connection, you know, because we're all so alone. We're all so consumed into our own world. We're selfish. We need to open up and be more friendly, I think.
That's interesting. You definitely see how sometimes the people that are different get made fun of in that sense, you know, they get outcasted or whatever because they don't fit in with everybody else, and that's sort of like one of the traumas of human beings, right? Like, especially a young person, you know, am I going to fit in? Like, I'm going to go to a new school. Will I fit in? Will the other kids hate me or whatever? But there's definitely...
We all go through that. We all go through that, but if we're loved by the family, we don't resort to violence, you know? And if we don't find a gun, we'll find a knife, or we'll punch somebody to death, you know? But, yeah, I think this country is just alone, and we need to change something, and I think blaming politicians is not the answer. You know, we have to look ourselves at our culture.
Also, if this was all about mental illness, I have to wonder why so many of the people who commit these crimes are primarily, and this case was only a 50% case, but primarily Caucasians.
It's always white boys.
Well, in this case, we had he was half Caucasian, half Asian.
Yeah, that's true, right. That's right. He had this Asian
mom. I think
mom.
It's not racial. I think it's more economic. The white race usually have more access to weapons, I think.
Right, but you don't see Oprah going out and gunning down Montecito. You don't.
Yeah.
There's just some of the stuff that he wrote. It's just, it's very human stuff. It's sad. He's talking about how he wants to be loved and he wants to be appreciated. He has this big ego where he's saying how terrific he is, but on the other hand, he obviously has real self-esteem issues where he's saying what a piece of shit he is and that he's unworthy of love and so forth. It's just amazing to me that he did have this father and this mother, even if they were divorced. And it's like so sad that there's like so little you can do. And I think
throwing money at them was not obviously the answer.
Right. He talked about being dirt poor or rich in Mexico City or whatever, but it seems to me that even the poorest of the Latins have something that rich people in America may lack, where they have this love and this family connection and so forth.
Yeah. And really, whatever little they have, they're willing to offer and help for others.
I'm very aware of that. And I also think that there's another connection which I've seen in the Latin family, in the extended family, where if a boy, for example, is having trouble and his father is busy or his father or whatever isn't involved, then he'll have his uncle step up and help him. Or he'll have some other family member. There's this sort of this thing like, you know, the cousin or the first cousin or the nephew or whatever should go talk to him and help him. And you see how they embrace each other in that way. And it just
the family, they have the godfather.
Well, in that way, but I mean, like, when you look at America, you know, my uncle lives on the East Coast, my aunt lives in Texas, you know, so you have this scattering, particularly in the United States, in a different kind of way, because I guess of people being transferred or going to school in different places, and so you're much more inclined to not know your neighbors, to not have an extended family around, and so when the kid falls, there's no one to catch.
Yeah.
Anyway. And so, Mao, how's that ever going to change? There's no way. This is American culture.
I mean, you know, Adam, I've been a Buddhist for the past 15 years, and the Buddhist philosophy you start from the inside out. You know, you stop looking for an intermediary. You work yourself. You look in the mirror. Because you said something about Haiti. He hated himself.
Yes, I agree.
He hated himself. So we need the answer is within, period. We need to start becoming happy. Stop looking outside. I need the car to be happy. I need the chick. I need this, that. Fuck that. We don't need anything. We're complete, exactly the way we are, as different we are. And if they bully us, show them love, period. That's the answer.
Listen, Mao, you know I respect you 100% that you're a Buddhist. There's no criticism of Buddhism, but let's face it, most people are not Buddhists, you know?
They don't have to be Buddhist. They don't have to be Buddhist. That's the beauty. There's no point of proving my religion is better than yours.
No, God forbid, I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying that your religion being a Buddhist, and I know you didn't start out as a Buddhist, but the point is you're a Buddhist now, and I know that it's a religion of as you say, introspection and peace and calmness, but you see that's not necessarily how most people in the world think.
I agree, but what are you going to do? We're already here. Either we go home crying or waiting for the rapture to happen, not, or we work a block at a time, you know? Start with yourself and work in your circle of influence. We all have friends that we know, right? We can start there.
Well, what really happens, and you've seen this, and when you talk about the angry white man, by the way, Tom, I think who you're talking about, and that's certainly the various assassins we've seen or whatever over the years, you know, like this guy, they're not what you say, Mao, they're loners, you know? The one that killed John Lennon, the one that shot Reagan. There were all these outcasted men who were sitting there in their apartments seething, you know, and like coming up with plans to like get even or whatever. But they didn't have friends. They didn't have people to lean on. And that's really a tragic reality. Maybe the people that need it the most somehow get it the least.
Yep.
Anyway, Mao, I didn't know that you'd be so entertaining. Thank you for calling.
Well,
Tom's all smiles over here.
Yeah.
Good. I really enjoy myself. You know, it's one of those things that I hate to listen to you guys. I always listen to the show, but I'm like, I don't agree with this. You know, I don't agree with this, but I agree. You're right. But I don't want to be like this, you know?
I wish the world was different than what it is, you know? One of the things that Tom taught me over the years, I think, and this is part of Tom's philosophy, and a lot of callers would call Tom and bitch at him, and he'd say, listen, I know what you mean, but I'm looking at the world as it is, you know, not in your fantasy of how it ought to be or how men and women should behave or in a perfect world how parents would behave or whatever. A lot of the reality, unfortunately, and this is certainly true for me, you know, being in my late 40s, you start to look at life and you say, listen, it's all nice to wish for things and to wish things were different, but when I go to court every day, I'm looking at how it really is. And that hurts sometimes, you know?
All right, guys, I send you a hug, okay? Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
And Tom, if you can take me out Donald Sterling style.
We can do that. Here you go.
Can I get you a little bit more juice?
Oh, that's great.
I love
that. That was beautiful.
I love it.
Oh, man.
All right. Of course, Adam is here to answer your questions about divorce, vaginamony, child custody, child support, prenups, postnups, and those sparkling, wonderful
restraining orders.
Yes.
And if you have fucked up children, call me.
My eyes were blinded by those restraining orders. Blindingly beautiful.
Blindingly beautiful.
Anyway, if you have questions about any of that, about family law, about your divorce, maybe you're getting fucked over, maybe you don't want to get fucked over, call this number right now. 901-3000-TALK. 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866. The Tom Likas Show brought to you in part by the Mangray Grill Enhancement System. You know, this is the best Father's Day gift, boys. And if you go to Mangray.com and use the promo code TOM101, you're going to get a huge discount. You're going to take care of your dad's Father's Day gift. Do it! It's Mangrate.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Jeff Spreen and our friends at Spreen Honda are back. Welcome back, these great T1 listeners. You know, if you want to drive one of the most reliable cars on the road, you have to consider a Honda. Summer's coming, and right now, a great time to enjoy a new car. You know, the folks at Spreen Honda have a full stock of brand new Hondas. Plus, they've got quality, affordable used cars, all the major brands. Are you considering a new car? Maybe you've got a family member or a friend who's considering a new car. Hey, boys, let's spread the word. Our P1 friends at Spreen Honda are there to serve you. Now, you can check out their selection and your great prices at SpreenHonda.com. That's S as in Sam, P-R-E-E-N, Honda.com. Spreen Honda's huge dealership, only about 30 to 40 minutes from most parts of L.A. and Orange County. All you do is jump on the 10 freeway east. You can see them right from the freeway. It's Spreen Honda. Call them right now, 909-799-7070. That's 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda and SpreenHonda.com.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino Show. Unfortunately, the feeling's not always mutual.
Not only won't I respond to your stupid fucking email, I hope you never listen to the show. You're unwelcome to listen to the show. If there was a way I could make it that when you downloaded the show, it would fucking blow up in your face, I would do it today.
Guts, glory, stupidity.
You prick.
The Gary and Dino Show.
Fuck you.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 listener Antonio Atoche and his brothers, and they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous pollo a la brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca, on West Artesian Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91 and where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesian Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show, a bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM. If you'd like some free legal advice from Adam, it's 901-3000-866. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
You can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can email me, adam@adamlawyer.com, and check my website, www.adamlawyer.com.
There we go. All right, if you've got a question for Adam, this is the place to call. And, of course, you forgot to tell people you answer your own phone.
Oh, yes, I definitely answer my own phone, so watch out.
All right. Say hi to Leo. Leo is in Liberal, Kansas.
Liberal, Kansas?
That's the name, Liberal, Kansas.
Far out, Leo.
You have Independence, Missouri, and you have Liberal, Kansas. Yes, hello.
Hello, Don. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you, Leo?
Hey, Leo. Are you a liberal from Liberal?
No, I live in Kansas City, Kansas, but I'm a truck driver, and I just happen to be driving through Liberal, Kansas.
All right. Well, nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Adam, how you doing today?
I'm great. What's going on?
All right. No, he wanted to comment about that. What was your friend's name? Mo?
Mao, yeah. Mo, yeah.
Mao, okay. You know, how he said that Mexicans who were born and raised in Mexico have that safety net, family safety net.
Is that true?
You know, it is true, but that particular, you know, that thing is dying out.
Really?
We don't have that much here in the States. Once you move here, once you move to the States, your priorities are becoming something else.
Well, that's sad.
Your family values, will change from being, let's say, Mercedes.
I think we're losing him.
What I think he was saying is that maybe, you know, Mao had kind of both experiences. Mao, as far as I know and what he said on the air, had grown up in Mexico for the beginning of his life until he was about 20, and then he moved to the United States. And I certainly have heard it said that people that come here from other countries, and particularly the Latin countries, are surprised because even they change culturally, where they started off with these very tight-knit families in the original country. And I think what this gentleman Leo was saying is that once they move here, that all fades away.
It does with time. You see the families who have cultural differences, and not just with their neighbors, but with their own children.
Right.
You know, you got, for example, every mom in a Hispanic family, she makes dinner, and then the whole family gathers around the table and has dinner.
Right.
Like Caucasian Americans did 50 years ago. They're still doing that. Well, now guess what? The kids have got their iPads and their smartphones. And so mom is trying to hold it together with dinner, handmade, with love for everybody, waiting for dad to come home to have dinner with the family. And the kids are watching TV. Gosh. And they're, you know, these are cultural battles that go on within families. Because let's face it, the kids are Americans.
The thing is, it's sad, isn't it? It's a tremendous loss.
Well, it's a loss for all of us. But again, you know, this all has to do with families breaking up, the fact that we've got so many broken families, so much divorce, and, you know, a lot of people, their mom has to go to work and can't be home to be with you when you skin your knee or when you'd like a sandwich made or whatever. So people learn how to survive on their own, and they learn, you know, to entertain themselves and be by themselves. And so then when, you know, people get remarried and they want to recreate this idea, the kids have already grown up a certain way, and that's done.
Yeah. I kind of think about it, what you were saying and some of your descriptions of your mother.
Yeah.
Who seemed to be much more maternal, I would say, if that's the right word.
My mom was a stay-at-home mom.
But not just that. Not the idea that she was forced to stay at home or whatever. She was sort of happy and reveling in it and enjoying that life and living that way. And I think that's one of the things that you tease these guys, where the guy calls in to the show and he's talking about this stripper that he met.
Right.
And you're saying to him, you really think, you know, you're going to turn her into a 1950s housewife?
Never going to happen.
Yeah. It just seems like, you know, it's sort of a cliche to say it, Tom, but there really isn't going to be a woman today like your dear old mother.
Right. Well, I always think, you know, mom did not have a Facebook account. Mom didn't take selfies. mom didn't have photos of herself in a bikini that she was posting for all to see.
Well, she didn't have the pictures of her ass from the...
Pictures of her ass or... It's 17 email addresses, 15 of which end in 6969. Mom, of course, we don't use pagers anymore, but, you know, mom doesn't have any of these. Mom back then didn't have any technological anything. You know, the way mom communicated with the world was your rotary dial telephone was hardwired in the wall. It would ring, and it would be the next door neighbor.
It just seems that her opportunities to fool around were significantly less.
They were limited completely.
Yeah.
And now, you know, mom has to go to work, and
right.
mom has her work husband, and she has her starter husband at home, and mom works late, and there's males who also have to work late on the same project, and then they go out for a cup of coffee or beer or Monday Night Football after work is over. Mom says she'll be home after the game at 10 o'clock. And
maybe she will, and maybe she
kids
won't.
Kids are doing their own homework, and the husband, if he still lives at home, is watching the Playboy Channel and pounding his putt. And when mom gets home, she brings home, like those pathetic, it was like if you watch the Burger Chef story arc in Mad Men, those pathetic Kentucky Fried Chicken commercials where the mom says, oh, I hit the jackpot tonight because I brought home a bucket of chicken. It's like, you really prefer a bucket of chicken to having your mom peeling potatoes and hand-breading chicken putting it in the frying pan? You really prefer that?
Dear.
That's where we've gone.
That's it.
That's where we've gone.
So that's the end of our society, Tom?
I spend a good deal of my adulthood trying to make up for what I missed as a kid because, you know, we didn't all, but my dad came home at a different time. My mom made 5 meals a day. There was breakfast for my dad at 5:30.
Unbelievable.
Then there was breakfast for the kids at 8. Then there was lunch. My mom made lunch that you ate at school. Mm. And then there was dinner for the kids around about 5 o'clock and then dinner for my dad around 7:30. 5 meals a day.
Wow.
And we didn't really eat together. We didn't really spend time together other than you know, the kids for this meal and my mom and dad for their breakfast and dinner. And, you know, as an adult, that is why I take such an interest in cooking and setting the table. And as I've always said, even when I'm totally alone, I will light the candles, I will make a great meal, and my house will smell like home.
Wow. To me, it's still that iconic thing you talk about where I think you come home from school and your mom is on her knees cleaning the floor or whatever.
With preen.
Preening the floor.
Preen. I don't even think they make it anymore. Preen. It was in a can. It was hardwood floor wax.
Yeah.
And it had a little plastic cap on it, and you would have to take like a rag and apply it with a rag. And my mom would be down on her knees applying preen to the hardwood floor.
See, I don't mind the idea of women having their own career. There just has to be some kind of balance.
Moms today are going to hotel rooms doing other kinds of polishing, if you know what I mean. Just a different world.
Oh, dear.
All right, Adam, tell everybody again how to get in touch with you.
After that, I can't remember, Tom.
Your mom is polishing the knob. Call this number.
Oh, dear. You know, you try not to think of your mom in that sort of way, Tom, whoever you are. Listen, I can't seriously believe that the father is putting artistic pictures, but, you know, naked like that of his wife like that. I don't see how you could come home and look at your stepmother straight in the eye after that crap. Anyway, thank you, Tom.
You're more than welcome.
You can reach me, and I do answer my own phone, at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. And you can also send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com, and check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And I'm always happy to chat.
All right. Adam Sachs, you hear him here every Tuesday for a bonus hour. If you're listening to the podcast or to our replay, and you want to call in live for legal advice, you call in next Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101, News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine, drug experts in the UK issuing warnings over chemsex parties.
What the hell's wrong with that?
Apparently the trend now leaning towards injecting synthetic drugs.
How are you going?
Such as the cathinones and the crystal meths of the world.
Oh.
Dude, you're mainlining crystal.
Oh, dude, you might as well call it over. You're done.
You're going for gold.
You are gold.
And then apparently what happens is a lot of risky sexual practices. And this is leading to a health problem because people are, you know, unhealthy.
Synthetic cathinones.
Dirty sex after dirty drugs.
Methadone.
Yeah.
Methadrone. I haven't even heard of some of this.
I know. What is that?
I don't know. We'll find out.
But most of the synthetic shit, if you just snort it, you end up naked in the town square, like, you know, making a fool out of yourself. What happens when you you inject the shit?
I guess there are groups of chemicals, including 251 MBOME, AH79021, MDPV, and mexo.
How do we get some?
Ketamine. I need to get my hands on some of this stuff.
Maybe Suley knows a connection.
Yes, or his brother.
We don't know. Anything's possible.
Sulinzi. Sulzi.
Yes. Herbal F-cup cookies. F-cup cookies claim to make your breasts grow.
Oh, come on. If people are buying this, man, please. Come on.
Cookies apparently sold in Japan promise to have a noticeable effect on a cup size.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're putting in, like, some type of, like, hormones or something. I don't know.
Oh, it's like mirostrol, some shit like that.
I'm not trying
like
this
hormone
one.
Estrogen.
This one I'm not trying.
In the cookie.
I'm not.
Come on. Grow some titties.
I'm definitely not trying this. I prefer to grow mine naturally.
Show us your act, man.
Mine are grown by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
What's your cup size? Reese's Peanut Butter.
I didn't even think of that. What's your cup, Reese's?
Done.
Oh.
Yes. A new pro breastfeeding campaign in Mexico City, apparently creating all kinds of havoc. Topless models.
Wow.
To promote. It's called Give Them Your Breast.
Okay.
Give Them Your Breast.
I say
you. Don't get to see the tots. I was doing something over.
Oh, too bad. I was about to say thank you.
Something about La Leche or something that I don't understand. I'm the Mexican here tomorrow to explain that.
There's a couple words in there I get.
Yes. Something about give them your titties. That much I know. Apparently all
you just include all of them. All the neighbors of Colorado pissed off because the legalization of weed apparently has caused nothing but fucking problems for them. Supposedly one in seven traffic stops now yield some sort of weed situation coming out of Colorado in surrounding states.
Listen, when you go to Colorado, you just need to enjoy the weed there. Don't where you get in trouble is when you take it back,
right.
And that's when you get busted.
Yep. Exactly.
So don't be an idiot. They even tell you that at the airport. You go have a good time, but don't come back with
sure.
it.
Sure. In long form, it's do not be stupid.
Right. Yeah.
And finally, she's out again. Denise Richards, kicked out by Charlie Sheen.
She had a nice life.
Nice little luxury home there in his neighborhood.
Amazing mansion, yeah. Everything. The children's close by, and he decided to sell the house to a friend, told her to get out.
This is a flip-flop so many different times that we heard that the former porn star that he is now banging and is, I guess, engaged to, it was her idea to throw Denise out.
Right.
And looked like he was going to do it for a while, then said no, and now apparently selling the joint.
Yeah, and good for him. I mean, it's about time she gets...
Good move?
Yeah. She's got to get a... She has to start doing things herself.
There are children involved, by the way. Three of them.
She's getting $55,000 a month in child support.
Oh, well, then she'll be fucking
grand. $55,000 a month.
Well, then maybe that hoe has a point.
Yeah.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
You better believe it, baby.
Check out our podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show for you every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Boys, let's talk about Allure Detail. Now, look, we all know a car is a big investment, but you got to maintain it properly in order to keep its value. With today's high-tech paint finishes and special upholstery, do-it-yourself products just don't cut it. There's a long list of forces constantly at work to permanently destroy your car's exterior. And what about the interior? Stains, dirt, and smells should all be dealt with immediately. This is where you leave it to the pros. And Allure Detail does it all, including engine cleaning, tar removal, carpet and upholstery shampooing, leather treatment, and more. And they offer additional services like windshield and wheel scuff repair, even paintless dent repair. Best of all, Allure Detail will come to you, like they do for me, at your home or office. That's right, professional detailers at your door. And right now, Likas listeners who schedule an interior detail get a free ozone treatment that kills all the bacteria and germs that can be growing in your car. It's our friends at Allure Detail. Go see pictures of their work on our site, Allure Detail, at AllureDetail.com.
This is the new normal.